Hello, this is John Ivy from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the December 2010 issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. We'll go right to the, on the front cover, it has a picture of, it says Power Player. Meet 12-year-old Jessica Aney, the 2010 Sports Kid of the Year. Well, let's find out a little more about Miss Jessica. Here on page 20 and 21, and it has a big picture of her swinging a tennis racket and a hockey stick, and it's titled Smash Hit. Two sports star Jessica Aney has beaten bigger players, older players, and even boys. Care to take her on? Jessica Aney, pronounced Aney, had a motto. It would be no big deal. Ask the humble seventh grader about beating high school players 4 and 5 years older than she is on the tennis court, and she'll tell you, no big deal. Ask the 4'11 forward about skating circles around bigger players, including boys, on the ice hockey rink, and it's still no big deal. I'm used to it now, says the 12-year-old from Rochester, Minnesota, who goes by Jesse. But the truth is, Jessie is a big deal. She's one of the nation's most talented youth tennis players, an elite-level hockey player, and a straight-A student. Now she has one more honor to add to her long list. She's the SI Kids 2010 Sports Kid of the Year. Free swinger. How did Jessie reach tennis greatness? She hit the ball into the net. A lot. No, not the net on the tennis court. About 7 years ago, the Aney family bought a 12-foot by 8-foot net that you could throw or hit a ball at, and the ball would bounce back to you. 5-year-old Jessie made a habit of spending an hour or two every day pounding a tennis ball into the net again and again and again. It never got boring. Her parents, Dad, Tom, and Mom, Karen, both played tennis in college, would give her occasional coaching tips, but her swing was perfected through hours of repetition. Every once in a while, you get a kid who pushes themselves way beyond any other kid, says Mike Goldammer, the director of the USTA's Northern Section, in which Jessie is ranked number one in two age groups. Jessie is constantly motivating herself. She's very gifted. Jessie's game is similar to tennis champion Justine Henin's. The way Jessie moves her feet is just heavenly to watch, said Goldammer. Her movement is better than any of the junior players, boy or girl, in the Northern Section. This fall, Jessie played number 2 singles for Century High School as a 7th grader, the youngest grade eligible for high school sports in Minnesota. She came within one set of winning the Class 2A State Singles Championship, but lost to her teammate Kelsey Fretchett, a junior. While people considered her to be the underdog of the tournament, Jessie didn't see it that way. I almost always think I'm going to win, she says. I'm just very confident. Cool as ice. The road to Jessie's greatness on the ice didn't start as smoothly. She was 2 when she started skating, but after her first session of hockey at age 4, Jessie wanted to quit, which her parents had no problem with. Months later, sign-up for the next hockey season rolled around. Tom brought Jessie's older sister, Katie, to register for the new season. Jessie came along mostly because sign-up day included free pizza. But after Katie was registered, Tom asked Jessie, "Are you sure you don't want to play hockey?" Her answer, "Well, oh, okay." Since then, she had become one of Minnesota's top players. Norby coaches Jessie on Minnesota team Reebok, an elite program that plays in some of the world's most competitive tournaments. Norby first saw Jessie when she was 9. Her hands were amazing, he remembers. She could skate full speed, pick up the puck with her stick, spin around, and throw the puck over her shoulder. She was doing stuff that high school boys can't do. In August, Jessie played with Team Reebok at the International Cup, a tournament that features elite players from the United States and Canada. Even though she was a year younger than most of the players in the under-12 division, Jesse took home tournament MVP honors with 4 goals and 2 assists as Team Reebok won the title. All-around star. Jesse's accomplishments go beyond the sports world. The past 2 years, she's been part of the highly gifted program at Friedel Middle School, where she has a 4.0 grade point average. She can fit so much into her day because of what she leaves out: TV, computer time, and video games. "I don't like to sit there in front of a TV or the computer," she says. "I'd rather be playing." That focus and drive translates into sports. "She's very creative on the ice," says Doug Zmolik, who played 8 seasons in the NHL and now coaches youth hockey in Rochester. "But the neat thing is that she has a motor that never stops. Her work ethic is very rare." So what does the future hold for Jesse? If she grows to be 5'7", I have no doubt she could become one of the top 100 tennis players in the world, says Goldhammer. As Norby, Minnesota is the girls' hockey capital of the United States, and Jesse's doing things that our All-State high school girls can't do. All-State, College Division I, Olympian, that's how high her ceiling is. Whether Jesse chooses to pursue tennis or hockey or both, one thing is for certain about our 2010 Sports Kid of the Year: the sky is the limit. Good job, Jesse. Well, now let's go to the Magnificent Seven, page 24 and 25. And here it has a picture here of a young girl, looks like she's in a swimming outfit, showing off her medals. A young gentleman in a wheelchair with something looking like a basketball. Another young man with a biker outfit, motorcycle. Another young woman looked like she is a track star. Another young man with a, looked like a snowboard. Then another young man like he's playing football. And another swimmer. Let's find out who they are. Missy Franklin, 15, from Centennial, Colorado, rules the pool. Missy, the youngest member of the United States national swimming team, has broken more than 50 Colorado swimming records and holds 7 national age group marks. She ranks 3rd overall in the United States in the 100 and 200-meter backstroke. At the national championships this summer, Missy won the Women's High Point Award. 2-time Olympian Ryan Lucht took home the men's award. Her favorite subject, honors biology. She said, "It always," she said it, "always be yourself and live every day like it's your last. Hard work always pays off, so just have fun with it and see what you can do." Benjamin Carpenter, 15, from Brandon, Florida, goal-oriented. Ben is captain of the Tampa Thunder, a power wheelchair soccer team that finished 2nd in the American Champions Cup in October. Ben was named to the all-tournament team. An A student, he also started a nonprofit organization called Ben's Men's, which repairs used books and donates them to those in need. Favorite car, Honda FC Sport Design. He said, "I want you to walk away from me thinking, you're not who I thought you would be. Your name is not Nike just because you wear the shoes. I am not my wheelchair just because it's what I use to get around." Sage Karam, 15, from Nazareth, Pennsylvania. Hot Wheels Sage is the youngest United States driver signed to an IndyCar team and has already won 35 national karting titles. He clinched the 2010 USF 2000 IndyCar Drivers Championship and helped Andretti Autosport win the team title. When he's not racing, Sage wrestles on his high school team and also volunteers overseas with Operation Smile, a nonprofit organization that provides surgery for children with facial deformities. Favorite movie, The Dark Knight. He said it, "It's not so much what you take from athletics, it's what you give back. Building relationships is just as important as winning championships." Now our track star, Kendall Williams, 15, Kennesaw, Georgia. Quantum leaps. Kendall has not lost an outdoor hurdles race since she was 11 years old. Last year, she ran the fastest 400-meter hurdles time in the world among high school girls, 58.63 seconds. The 2009-2010 Gatorade Georgia Girls Track and Field Athlete of the Year, she is also an accomplished long jumper, high jumper, and heptathlete. Her favorite color, purple. She said it, I want to motivate young people to get active and really do something great. Now our snowboarder, Miles Silverman, age 13, from Brunswick, Maine. Chairman of the board, in 2010, Miles won the NASTAR National Championship snowboarding title in the boys' 11 to 12 age division for the third year in a row. Miles also excels in baseball, tennis, and soccer. He was named an all-star in his Babe Ruth League and is a straight-A student. Favorite food? Spicy chicken wings. He said it. Remember, the best snowboarder on the mountain is the person having the most fun. Our football player, Brandon Monroe, 12, from San Francisco, California. Double trouble. A running back and linebacker for the East Bay Wolverines, Brandon scored 5 touchdowns in 2 games during the 2010 Pop Warner Super Bowl tournament. In basketball, he was the MVP for his AAU basketball team, which won the West Coast National Championship. Favorite animal, cheetah. He said it. Education is very important and should come first in life. Your education is something that no one can take away from you. And now our swimmer, Olivia Callaghan. She's 11 years old, from Muscatine, Iowa. Master strokes. Olivia made a splash in the 2010 when she broke 7 state swimming records, 4 individual, 3 relay, in the girls' 9 to 10 age group. She also won 5 events at the 2010 Central Zone Championships, where she had the highest individual point total in her age group. Favorite actor, Steve Carell. She said it. Before I step up on the blocks to start a race, I pump myself up by saying, elbows, elbows, wrist, wrist, you can't touch this. Now let's talk about football. Pages 32 and 34. Has a picture here of the Baltimore Ravens and Joe Flacco, the quarterback, about to receive the ball, and he says, "Me and my line, how a wall of giants protects Baltimore Ravens quarterback Joe Flacco." In September 26, the Baltimore Ravens thrilled their fans with a 24-17 comeback win over the Cleveland Browns. The Ravens star quarterback Joe Flacco threw 3 touchdown passes to wide receiver Anquan Boldin. On each of the scores, Flacco dropped back in the pocket, patiently scanned the field, and then delivered a perfect throw to his wideout. That evening's TV highlights focused on the great chemistry developing between Flacco and Boldin, who was acquired in the offseason from the Arizona Cardinals. But one key element of the game was not really discussed: the dominant play of Baltimore's offensive line. Flacco did not get sacked and was hit by defenders only 2 times, even though the Browns' defensive blitz for most of the game. And the O-line gave Flacco plenty of time to wait for Boldin to get open downfield. It's true, an NFL team cannot reach elite status without a great offensive line. Yet despite their impact on the game and the fact that they are often the largest players on the field, the play of linemen usually goes unnoticed by fans. "I think most people generally know what we do," says Ravens right guard Chris Chester. "I don't think they understand what we do, though." The performance of the O-line has been a key reason for the Ravens' success in 2010. Through Week 9, Baltimore was 6-2 and averaging 21.9 points a game. Chester, right tackle Marshall Yanda, center Mike Burke, left guard Ben Grubbs, and left tackle Michael Orr were leading a unit that allowed Flacco to be sacked just 14 times, tied for 8th fewest in the NFL. SI Kidd spoke with Flacco and the Ravens' 5 starting linemen to find out how the Giants of football do their jobs. Tough job. "The first thing you'll notice about any of the Ravens' offensive linemen is their enormous size. All 5 players are at least 6'3" and 310 pounds. In person, you realize how big they are. They look big even to me," says Flacco, who at 6'6 and 238 pounds is no small fry himself. The job of offensive linemen is to protect the quarterback during pass plays and clear space for runners in the ground game. On a handoff, they try to connect with the defender's chest and push him away from the runner's path. For a pass, they shove defenders in quick bursts to slow their charge toward the quarterback. Sometimes they block multiple defenders zooming in from different directions. Each block has specific footwork and upper body positioning that must be mastered. From a TV angle, it looks like we're just running into guys, says Yanda, but it's complex. We have a lot of different techniques that we're trying to get done. From the moment the ball is snapped, linemen must block defenders who are not only incredibly strong and fast, but also have a running start toward them. You have to be strong in your lower body, and you have to be agile, says Burke. We're not running 50 yards down the field, but being able to be explosive in a 2 or 3 yard burst is very important. Linemen are a lot more athletic than people think. Heady players. Linemen are also smarter than most people realize. On average, centers and offensive tackles score the highest of any positions on the Wonderly, an intelligence test given to NFL draft prospects. Linemen must be able to learn their offense and the opposing team's defense inside and out, including the individual moves of the defenders they'll be lining up against. Our playbook is about as thick as a phone book, says Burke. There are hundreds upon hundreds of plays. You have to be ready for everything. During the week, the Ravens linemen arrive at the team's practice facility at 7 a.m. and leave at 5 p.m. They spend the day working on different plays, studying game film and photographs, and memorizing the playbook. That's just the stuff we do all together, says Chester. Then you go home and spend at least an hour and a half studying and looking at film on your own. These guys put their work in, says Flacco. You almost feel bad for them because they work so hard. Strong bond. A major reason for the success of the Ravens' offensive line is its excellent communication. The credit goes to Burke, the leader of the unit. He's the quarterback of the O-line, says Orr. After Flacco calls the play in the huddle in the Ravens' lineup, Burke must identify the defensive formation they are facing and relay the info to his teammates so each of them knows which opponents to block. Burke communicates this to the guards using code words or with hand signals. The guards then pass on those signals to the tackles. Says Grubbs, I can just say, alert, alert, and other automatic or automatically knows what I'm talking about. Working with each other for so long, you can say one word and we know what each other is talking about. That sort of chemistry doesn't come just through practice. The Ravens linemen are close friends off the field. Last summer, they vacationed together in Las Vegas. They also bond over video games and off-season barbecues. Most of the activities are food-themed because offensive linemen like to eat, says Burke with a laugh. Flacco also has become close with his O-line by taking them out to dinner and giving them gifts during the holidays. I take care of them during Christmas time, he says, shunning the spotlight. The presents are nice, but what linemen love most are small gestures such as good job from a teammate after a touchdown. Being in the spotlight, these guys will pass. If my name is called during the game, it means I probably did something illegal, says Grubbs. I don't need the attention. If the running back, quarterback, and receivers are having successful years, then I'm happy. Adds Burke, maybe most people won't realize when we do a good job, but that almost makes it more special. It's cool when we look at each other and take pride in a good performance. As the Ravens continue their drive toward the postseason, they can rest easy knowing that their humble giants will keep excelling at their jobs quietly. As Orr says, let the skill guys do their thing, we'll do the dirty work. And has a picture of each of the linemen here. Let's find out a little bit about them. Marshall Yanda, he's the right tackle. He's 26 years old. He's 6'3 and 315 pounds. What he does? A do-it-all lineman, Yanda starts at right tackle, but he can also play guard and center. Flacco says, Marshall's so tough. He plays whatever position we need and does it with a physical style. Next, there's Chris Chester. He's the right guard. He's age 27, 6'3", 315 pounds. What he does? Chester helps protect Flacco and also blocks for running backs, opening lanes for them to squeeze through. Flacco says, Chris is a bigger guy, so he can really put his weight down. And then there's Joe Flacco. And next to him, there's Matt Burke, the center, age 34, 6'4", 310 pounds. What he does, Burke is the leader of the line. He must read the defense, communicate to his linemen what their blocking assignment is, and then snap the ball. Flacco says, match the veteran so he knows what defenses are going to do, and he gets the offensive line together. And next to Burke is Ben Grubbs, the left guard. He's age 26, 6'3", 310 pounds. What he does, Grubbs has similar responsibilities to Chester, but on the other side of the center. Flacco says, Ben has great athleticism. He is really fast and athletic. And finally, Michael Orr. He's the left tackle. He's age 24, 6'4", 313 pounds. What he does, Orr's job is to protect Flacco from defenders who are coming from the behind the quarterback. Flacco says, it takes a lot to protect the blind side. As soon as he takes the field, his intensity level goes up. He comes ready to play, and he battles. Oh, are we ready for hockey? Pages 36 and 37. 10 questions for Sidney Crosby. A group of kids gets the scoop from the Pittsburgh Penguin star. Pittsburgh Penguin star center Sidney Crosby knows a thing or two about accomplishing big things at a young age. At 19, he was the youngest player to win the Art Ross Trophy given to the NHL's leading scorer. 2 years later, he became the youngest captain to win the Stanley Cup, who had made perfect sense that some other accomplished youngsters would want to interview Crosby. Cub Scout Pack 8, a group of more than 50 boys ages 7 to 10 from Augusta, Georgia, won a chance to submit questions to the Penguins captain and ask Crosby about his heroes, sports thrills, and game day routine. Crosby took the time to answer the kids' great submissions. First question, were you ever a Cub Scout or Boy Scout? His answer, yes, I was for a few years. Question, compare the thrill of scoring the winning goal in overtime for an Olympic gold medal to winning the Stanley Cup. The answer, they are both equally special, really special, but different. I honestly am not able to put one ahead of the other. Question, who was your sports hero? Answer, former Detroit Red Wings captain Steve Yzerman. I always admired the way he played and led by example on and off the ice. Next question. Who was your favorite coach or teacher growing up and why? His answer, I don't know if I could name one. I had a lot of great teachers and coaches, but the one thing they all had in common is that they were really passionate about what they did and made it fun to learn. Question. What advice do you have for kids who want to play sports but don't know if they can juggle them with school? Answer. I would say go for it. You obviously have to make sure one thing doesn't affect the other, but there is nothing wrong with playing different sports and being active. Just make sure your schoolwork doesn't suffer. Question. Are you excited that Pittsburgh will host this year's Winter Classic outdoor game against the Washington Capitals? Answer. I am really excited. We are lucky to be able to have it here at Heinz Field. The city of Pittsburgh will put on a great event. Next question. There seems to be a rivalry between you and the Penguins and Alexander Ovechkin and the Capitals. From your perspective, how big is that rivalry? Answer, the rivalry is big. Both teams bring out the best in one another, so it makes for great hockey. Question, what is your pregame routine? Answer, there's a lot to it, but the main part is eating my pregame meal of pasta and chicken. That is a must. Next question. How did it feel to play in the last game at Mellon Arena? Answer. It was disappointing because we had a lot of great memories there and also because we had lost and we were out of the playoffs. But the new arena, the Console Energy Center, is incredible. They thought about every detail and it's an amazing place to play. And finally, what will it take for the Penguins to win the Stanley Cup this year? It will take consistency in big plays through the regular season and playoffs. There isn't much that separates teams, and everyone wants to win the Stanley Cup. But it comes down to who is the most consistent and gets the key plays at the key times. On top of that, a little luck helps too. And knock, knock, who's there? Pages 68 and 69. 6 athletes share their favorite jokes. What time was the boy's dentist appointment? Tooth hurty? Knock, knock, who's there? Orange. Orange who? Aren't you glad to see me? Oh, boy. That looked like from Nate Robinson of the Boston Celtics. All right. Simon Dumont, U.S. Ski Team. I like this joke because it's silly and lighthearted, and it reminds me of my childhood. I like jokes that are a little obnoxious. I have a very guy type of humor. Will Ferrell, Owen Wilson, and Vince Vaughn are some of my favorite actors. All right. Here's a running back. Looks like Adrian Peterson. How do you make a tissue dance? You put a little boogie in it. Okay. And A. Robinson of the Boston Celtics says, I love knock-knock jokes because the person you are telling the joke to gets to participate as well. I like to think that I have a great sense of humor. I'm witty and always make people laugh. My favorite funny actors are Jim Carrey, Will Ferrell, and Robin Williams. Their different styles of humor can appeal to everyone from little kids to adults. And this running back is not Adrian Peterson, but Lawyer Malloy of the Seattle Seahawks. I posted on Facebook that I needed a joke for SI kids. I had like 50 responses and picked the best. I then tested some of the good ones on my kids and chose by seeing which one got the most laughter. I'm always trying to be funny. My favorite comedian is Bill Cosby because I grew up watching his shows. And here's Candace Parker, Candace Wiggins, Minnesota Lynx. I first heard this joke in fifth grade while our class was studying the states and capitals. Jokes are funniest when they require a little bit of thought. Long live nerdy jokes. My sense of humor is indescribable. Anything goes. I could make going to the dentist funny if I try. My favorite comedic actor is Robin Williams in Aladdin and in Mrs. Doubtfire. The genie in Aladdin is one of my favorite characters of all time. And here's her joke. Why is Alabama the smartest state in the U.S.? Because it has 4 A's and just 1 B. All right. Jericho Cotri of the New York Jets. Sarcastic is the best way to describe my sense of humor. I like sending subliminal messages to my victims, and then, boom, they get it. It was an incredible experience for me to be a part of the 12 Angry Mascots at Gotham Comedy Club in New York City last July. It was my very first time performing a comedy skit for the public. Martin Lawrence, Will Ferrell, and Steve Carell are my favorite comedians. Their ability to make people laugh seems so natural. And here's his joke. What kind of hair do oceans have? Wavy. All right. And Milan Lucic of the Boston Bruins. I first heard this joke when I was 4 years old. I tell my teammates and they usually laugh and repeat boo-hoo a lot. It catches people off guard and they don't expect it. And here's his joke. Knock, knock, who's there? Boo. Boo-hoo. Why are you crying? It's just a joke. There's nothing to get upset about it. Well, we've run out of time for today's reading. I am John Ivey, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience and readily available as podcast after the broadcast. We hope you've enjoyed today's reading. So long, until next time.